Your sports voice in Western Illinois is WRMJ Alito.
This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
Jim Taylor on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Hey, it's a holiday edition of the WRMJ Sportsline. And one of the traditions we bring in, for some reason, we bring in Len Cook around Christmas every year. Coach Breeden is going to be with him this year, too. So I know he'll probably tell the one story, so I'm just going to get it out of the way. One of the things he loves to do is walk down the hallway at Rock Ridge and see Jeff Henry teaching math. Jeff Henry, what do you think about that?
Well, it's very exciting. You know, I mean, my teaching skills are just so high level that, you know, every kid's just excited to come into my classroom. So, you know, Glenn thinks a lot of me. I think a lot of him as well. He actually just stopped by the classroom here this week and passed out donuts to all of our teachers. And, you know, he means so much to our entire district, always has. And, you know, I don't know if there's anybody that loves to be a Rocket more than Glenn Cook.
No question about it. But, I mean, every year, Coach, he tells the same story of walking down the hallway and getting a big thrill out of watching Jeff Henry teach. And, I mean, he really means it, too, when he says it.
Well, he tells a lot of stories year after year after year. So if you've known him long enough, you'll hear the same jokes and the same stories. But, you know, I appreciate my friendship that I've had with him. And, you know, it goes clear back to when I was hired here, you know, 20 some years ago as the head basketball coach. And, you know, I didn't know anybody in the district. And my wife and I were looking for a house, and Glenn reached out to me, didn't know me, reached out to me, you know, welcomed us to the district. At the time, he was doing some realtor stuff. So I asked Glenn, I said, hey, can you maybe help me find a place? So he got a couple of listings, and so he takes my wife and I to this place in beautiful downtown. I think it was Edgington. It might have been Taylor Ridge. I think it was Taylor Ridge. So we walk up to the door, and he's got this key. And behind the door, we can hear this little dog just chirping, chirp, chirp, you know, bark. And of course, Glenn looks at Danielle and just makes a laugh like, oh, boy, I hope he doesn't eat us. He unlocks the door, and there's that little dog and a little ankle biter barking. And right behind it was a mastiff dog that got up on its hind legs and was taller than Glenn and I. And we both just went running out the door right there. Scared the bejesus out of us. Yeah. That's how Glenn introduced us to Rock Ridge.
Yeah. So Glenn probably did get a commission out of that sale.
Yeah. But we didn't buy that place.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, do you have an idea how many games you think he's been involved in PAing, whether it be football or basketball over the years? Man, a whole bunch, I think.
I couldn't even begin to tell you because, I mean, obviously, as long as I've been here, he's been doing it, and I know he was doing it for years and years and years before that. So, I mean, it's hard to believe how many, you know, boys basketball and girls basketball games and football games. And then, you know, you add in the time that he spent with our baseball program. And, you know, a lot of people forget, but Glenn was, you know, one of our baseball coaches that, you know, took a team down to the state, you know, made it to the Elite Eight. And, I mean, you know, he was an outstanding coach. And a lot of people just look at him and think he's just kind of a funny old guy. But, you know, that guy, he knows baseball, and, you know, he loves sports. And like I said before, you know, he loves Rock Ridge, and you know, he's all about everything that has to do with Rock Ridge and the kids.
All right. I'm going to say you called him a funny old guy. All right. Good to visit with you, Coach Jeff Henry. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, Jim.
So we let Coach Henry say a few words about Glenn Cook. Now, also on the program today is Coach Bill Breeden, and I'm going to let Pat Lower say a few words about Coach Breeden. Do you want to share any Bill Breeden stories today at all or not?
Well, there's a lot of Bill Breeden stories, and they're all great. He was one of my first mentors. He's one of the guys that made me fall in love with the game of football. We talk regularly, either through text or actually talking, and have great respect for that man, his passion for high school football, playing defense especially, and being the defensive captain for him and calling the defenses was an honor and a privilege, and really have a lot of love for that man.
So the one neat thing I can share with people is you had him, I don't know, it was last year or a couple years ago, you've had him come like speak to your team at your pasta or get together dinners before the playoffs or whatever. That's happened before, right?
Yes, it has.
So like, what did he say to the kids? Do you remember?
And what was our reaction? I do remember because he had an Aledo football hat, and then he was talking about tradition and this and that and the tradition that we have up here. And then he finished by putting on a Fulton Steamer football hat. And it was really cool. It had the guys' attention. That's for sure. He's a great speaker. He's a great motivator. I got a quick story for you, if you don't mind.
Sure, I want to hear it.
When we were in seventh grade, he was our head coach, and we were in his classroom because we played our middle school games at Aledo High School. And he put in a tape, and we're all sitting there in our cleats and all that. He put in a tape of NFL Crunch Course, and it was all these huge NFL hits. And I'm probably dating myself. I'm dating myself as to what NFL Crunch Course is. But it's kind of one of those, if you know, you know. And we were so pumped up. And then he had a podium. And when the tape was done.
This is tremendous.
Yeah. When the tape is over, he slaps that podium and knocks it across the room. And he's spitting, going, let's go. And we were so excited and pumped up. And that's his true story. Any of my buddies can tell you. I tell that story a lot to kids. I used to watch NFL Crunch Course with my coach.
Get that VHS tape out, man.
The best part was the right hand across that podium thing he had. And it just went flying. Yeah.
Oh, that's tremendous, man. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. That is
you
awesome.
Bet.
So that's how we set up the show today, right? It's about relationships. You heard Coach Henry talk about Glenn Cook. You heard Patrick Lower talk about Bill Breeden. And standing by on the program today, fun holiday edition of the WMJ Sports Line, Glenn Cook and Bill Breeden. Stick around. This is WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too, but they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Give the gift of comfort and style this year with a pair of Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run. They have the largest selection of styles and colors in stock in the store's history to choose from. And they're all on sale for Christmas gift giving. Hey Dude takes pride in having the comfiest, cushiest, and lightest shoes you can find. Their selection features Hey Dudes you can wear while dressing formally or lounging around. Hey Dude shoes. Shoes, but way comfier. And all on sale now at 6140 Run. 185 West Main in Galesburg.
Hey, there's only one way to get in the holiday spirit, to sit in the downtown Aledo studios and look across the street and see the ginormous Christmas tree, and then you have Coach Bill Breeden and Coach Glenn Cook in studio with you on a holiday edition of WRMJ Sportsline. I said it's about relationships. That's how we start this conversation. I thought it was so great what Jeff Henry had to say and Pat Lower. What do you say, Glenn Cook?
Well, you mean to Jeff? You mean or to the
to anything
the
in general?
Well, I mean, Bill was just telling me here about, I'm just running off the head here, but I want to tell you, you know, we've both had little health problems lately, and coming over here today was such an uplifting drive for me, Jim, and I want to thank you for letting us do this. I mean, everybody knows I like to tell stories, and this little program we do once a year gives me a chance to tell those stories. And Jeff Henry's remarks about me, that brings a tear to my eye. They really mean a lot to me. And Bill told me something here about his health, that he had a little setback here a couple weeks ago, and I think a lot of Coach Breeden, too. So
yeah. I love Pat Lower's story. He actually told that story. That was during the playoff show here in late October. But you can see the enrichment of one's life through relationships over the years. And I know both of you guys can probably look at many relationships that you've been involved in or have created through your passion in life, which a lot of it is coaching or being around you. Makes you feel good, though, when you hear stuff like that. And there's a lot of kids that have stories like Pat Lower probably told.
No, well, first of all, Jim, thank you for having us here and that the beginning of the program. Well, that couldn't have been any better. And when you called me and asked me to come, well, I've been in game mode since then. You know, I was pretty fired up. Glenn and I were talking before the show, and Glenn, the one thing we were talking about, which I won't talk about on the air, but Jeff Henry talking, that's the validation we were talking about.
Okay,
that's what
sure.
we're talking about
yeah.
right there.
They don't come any better than Jeff.
And you're right, Jim, sitting here and looking out at the holiday festivities and stuff. We used to do some things in wrestling back in the day. And at first, when I first started it, our wrestlers thought I was crazy. And fortunately, the weather cooperated. But I told them, I said, bring some clothes to run outside. And okay. So they did. And we ran from the high school uptown here. And we went from corner to corner. And we sang Christmas carols.
Oh, that's awesome.
And at first, our guys were, oh, man. But after a while, they would just, nobody ever timed us from the high school up here. But the times got faster because they wanted to go stand on the corner. People waved. They honked their horns. And as time went by, there was one business uptown here that invited all the guys in, and they had donuts for the wrestlers. And we stopped there. But then I was at Mercer Market, and this elderly couple said they drove by and heard it. And I told the guys the next year, I said, we're going to add to it. So we went around town to northwest part of town. We went all around town, and we sang some Christmas carols. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was a tradition that just lasted a long time.
So I was thinking about you last week when I was last week I did an interview with the girls basketball coach at Galesburg High School. He won his 1,000th game, Evan Massey. So sure. There's only like four basketball coaches in Illinois that have won 1,000. Mm-hmm. He's one of them. And I got him on, and I said, well, I want to talk about winning 1,000 games. But I did a bait and switch on him. Then I wanted to say, you know, I wanted to get into participation with him.
Mm-hmm.
Why kids play, why they don't play. Mm-hmm. So it was basically as it relates to girls basketball. And I said, you know, in that sport, I see there's some girls that I know that I see during the winter are not playing, that they're good enough athletes, they could play. And I said, you know what I'd like you to do? I would like you to go to, you know, a different kid from each Western Big Six school that you know could play basketball if they wanted to. And whether it be from Quincy or Geneseo or UT, say it's a track athlete at UT, they're not playing basketball, and you just say, hey, why don't you play basketball? And if the answer is simple, I don't like the game, that's fine, we move on. But if it's some other reason, then I think you start to figure out, well, what is the pattern? So I was thinking about you and how long you've coached. I'd like you to do that sometime with, and I don't care whatever the sport is. Say it's, you know, a kid during the basketball season that could play basketball for whatever reason is not playing, or a kid you know that could compete on the wrestling mat that's not wrestling. Mm-hmm. Likewise, football during the football season or cross country. And just find out why kids don't participate, even though you know they would help that sport. Does that bug you a little bit? I mean, is that a project you could work on maybe?
Jim, two things. One, I'll be perfectly candid and honest. I've never stopped recruiting. I still recruit because I think you have to. And when I say recruit, you're doing the very thing that you're describing. Okay, how come? Well, why do kids compete in the first place? Kids want to compete, one, well, they like being a part of something that's successful. They like to be successful themselves. They want to be around their friends. They, you know, those reasons have never changed. They've never changed. Now, what happened? What happened then? What's the competition? What happened to keep kids from going out? You know, from participating. There's the issue. Okay. Now, we could make it really simple and just blame social media and games and gaming and all that. Okay. That could be, okay, we're done. Well, we're not, because it goes deeper than there. It goes deeper than that. And way back when I was trying to get kids to play football, wrestle, but there would be girls in class, and I'd say, wait a minute, I know what you can do, you know. And what do you think the number one reason that kids responded to me in all those years, and still do, as to why they don't go out? You know, there's fear. There's fear of... I'm going to say it's failure, but it's not really failure. It's the fear of the unknown as to, well, what's going to happen and how will I do? And then the other thing is commitment. If you're going to get better, you've got to make a commitment. And they're afraid of the commitment because they're not really sure what that commitment is going to entail. And I used to tell kids, you know, I'd try to recruit them for wrestling, and I would go, here's the deal. And I would do this with basketball players, but I was being facetious. I wasn't really serious, but I'd still do it. I'd say, hey, I'm going to play you a game of horse, and if I win, you got to come out for a wrestle. Okay, if you win, I'll never say another word to you. And I'm an old, short wrestling coach, but if I can beat you, well, then I don't know about your future in basketball. And I wasn't a good basketball player, Jim, but I could shoot. You know, and so that was interesting. And I did that. I did that with some ladies too. I say, let's play a game of horse. Okay, I'm not trying to recruit them for wrestling. I was trying to get them to go out for basketball. And it's funny you say that, because that is a big issue with me. Like now, okay, and particularly right now in wrestling, it's hard because what the wrestlers we have are good. They're very good. We just don't have enough, mm-hmm. You know. And so what do you do? Well, back in the day, and I hate saying that because you can't really make the comparison, but you – and Glenn knows this too. You, as a coach, you got to work and you've got to – I mean, we used to have – you know, and they still have the little kids program. We had a Y program. We used to go down after school to New Boston, and we'd have 50 kids at New Boston wrestling mm-hmm. for an hour. And it never ends. It never ends. And then guys at school, I say, okay, look, I can promise you a couple of things. If you come out for wrestling, cars and money. And they would look at me and go, what are you talking about? I said, I can't give you money. But if you really need money, coaches, we know enough people that if you're willing to work, we can get you some work. So we can get you some money. Okay, I can't give you a car, okay, but if you need rides, I can get you a ride. And to give you an example, we had a wrestler one time that lived south of town. My wife took him home after wrestling practice for 2 years. You know, we can get you a ride. Mm-hmm. So you wrap all that up to answer your question, and I would love to do that.
Do you think enough of that's still being done, though, or not being done? That's going above and beyond the Call of Duty, but I think some of that stuff maybe the reason why maybe some of the numbers aren't like they should be?
I hesitate to make that condemnation because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know it's a never-ending job, and it's a hard job. But you take our enrollment right now, you know, 380, 385, whatever it is, 375. A school that size, we always thought that we could get 55 to 60 kids out for football, okay, at that enrollment level. Right. Wrestling, we always thought that we had to have 24 to 30 some kids in wrestling because, you know, sickness and whatever. Okay. And you had to be, boy, it'd sure be great to be three deep at everyone, but you're not, but you've got to have a lot of twos, to really be competitive. And, it is a big issue in this day and age. I mean, you look the 8-man football thing, for example. The only reason there's 8-man football is there's just not enough players.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Well, we go back to what I've already talked about. My only thing with 8-man football, and then I'll get kicked out of here. You know, it's not that I don't like it or anything, because Coach Kirby's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, is wasn't there anything that could be done prior to doing that? For example, like co-oping or consolidating or so? You want to give your athletes the best chance possible. And then with 8-man football, I think that this is an ongoing argument, okay, with eight-man coaches. And I maintain that you get rid of a couple body types. Get rid of a couple body types, so those kids aren't, you know, they're not going to add to the game. And that bothers me.
Yeah.
So that's a long-winded, obviously a long-winded.
Well, that's good. That's why we have you on here. So. What do you see about participation, Coach Cook? I mean, over the years, as long as you've been at, you know, Rock Ridge, where you say, I know this kid could help this sport, but he's not playing it. Like I said, if they just don't want to play, they don't enjoy whatever the sport is, I'm good with that being the answer to say, hey, I don't want to play. I don't like this game. But if there's other reasons, how do you go about reversing that or, you know, making it work, I guess, because, you know, the genie's out of the bottle with club sports. That's always going to be part of the equation now. So, you know, the interscholastic school coach, they have to deal with that. Now, how do you deal with that and make it work and make kids play specific sports like the girls side? It seems to be girls basketball's the sport that's struggling. But I'm talking about participation in general, where you see some kids just for whatever reason aren't playing specific sports. So you've been at it a long time over at Rock Ridge. What do you think? Is there an answer to that question?
That's a tough question, Jim. I think that for some reason the kids want to get out and get a job and work and make money. And I keep telling them you're going to work the rest of your life. You know, your only high school goes by in a blink of an eye. And while you're there, you need to participate in every sport that you can and take full advantage of what the school offers you and, you know, that type of thing. But why they're not playing, it's more than just they want to work. I think there's, you know, it's a different breed of cat today. They've got so many different options of things they can do. And I don't think the kids have changed so much. I do think parents have changed. And you know, the structure at home and things like that. Now, I was the baseball coach at Rock Ridge, so I can only speak to that, really. I mean, I've been involved in all the other sports, but baseball was the sport I coached. And this is a little off the subject, but by the time that baseball season rolls around, the kids have been beaten down by the other coaches. They start out with football, then they play basketball, then here comes baseball, and they're tired of that. And they're tired of, and I do believe that.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I'm just speaking of baseball. I'm not speaking of softball or anything other spring sport. I'm just speaking baseball.
Well, and then you're not even factoring in then the summer off season stuff leading up the regular interscholastic season.
June is a terrible month for, if you're a three sport athlete, June is a terrible month because I remember when we had, for instance, when we had Ty Blazer, he would play three sports in one day. He'd play.
Yeah, and Riley Federer too. Yeah, you know, yeah, like kids
yeah.
like
and,
that.
And so, You got to figure family vacation. There's so many things. Isn't there so much that goes into becoming a good? Now, Bill Breeden was a great high school coach. And there's so much that goes into that, Coach. There is, and you know that. Just like you were talking about, you'd have your wife go pick up kids, or you'd go pick up kids, or you'd play horse against somebody to get them to come out and so on. That's the type of thing that goes into becoming a high school coach. It's more, you know, the fans show up on Friday night or whatever, and they see you out on the field, and they think that's what a coach is. No, there's so much more than that.
Well, and
becoming a good coach.
And that's a great point, and I've said this, and I've been around it long enough that one of the common denominators I always default back to is kids are smart enough and intuitive enough to know if the coach cares or not. And so many, you know, especially at a young age, a lot of coaches, it's all about the X's and O's, but they haven't figured out. They got to invest in the kid first and make sure that they understand that they care about the kid. And if they don't figure that out, they're not going to be a very good coach.
I just have one little thing to say here, Jim. The kids don't care what you know as long as they know that you care. And that is so important. I mean, there used to be a coach over at Alwood. Gene Benke was his name.
Yeah.
Did you know him?
I didn't know him personally, but
they were successful in everything. Every sport that he touched, they were successful. And I mean, they were rated 16th in the state when it was one class, and they had like 200 kids in the school.
Heard all about him. Man.
Yeah, oh yeah. And so I had a chance to play golf with one of the players. We had a kind of a get together here about 5 years ago. It was so much fun playing with the Goulds and the Sherrard, Roger Sherrard, and the Krugers and all them. It was so much fun. Anyway, I asked one of them about Coach Benke, and he said, you know, X's and O's, he said he was just average. But he says, we loved him and believed in him so much that we would make it work. And I really think at the high school level that's the most important thing is getting the kids to buy into your program.
I agree.
Well, and this is the other thing that I think about. How do you, I mean, what's the equation to making the back end of the roster? So the kid that's not rushing for 150 yards on Friday night, right, or getting 14 tackles, you know, and maybe not playing, and maybe he, same 13th man on the basketball team. But you see some of those programs where that 13th kid or 12th kid on the basketball team still loves being a part of that situation. But then you see other programs where, you know, they don't invest in the back end of the kids on the roster, whatever the sport may be. So what is the equation? So that's my question to you and Coach Cook, Coach Breeden, is to me, that's the key in these sports. How do you make those kids that don't get the primetime moments feel part of something? And you know those programs that you see, man, they get those kids on the back end. They're freaking invested in this thing, too.
Yep. Jim, the answer is easy. It really is easy. You coach them all. You coach them all. You coach that 13th kid, in basketball, as much as you do the kid that's averaging 24 points a game. You coach them all. One time I had an assistant wrestling coach. Good coach, knew a lot. He didn't want to coach the kids that weren't starting. And he and I had talks, and that's not how it's done, I told him. I said, we coach everybody. And you got to make, and I'll give you a how it works. We had a kid in football who was 5 foot nothing and 100 nothing. Okay. Had the heart of a lion. Okay. And he saw the field very little, okay? But you make him feel a part. So here's what I did. He was we had a coach responsible for specialty teams, okay? But he was the specialty player coach, okay? If it's second down, okay, and the other team is second and 12, okay, he's rounding up the punt receiving team. And he turned into a little general. I mean, if you were on the punt receiving team, and he says, "Let's go, boys," and we're over here, and you weren't there, oh my gosh, he was after you, okay? But he was the guy, and you do that for everybody, everybody's got to feel like they're a part. You just don't coach the guys that are the star guys are going to get it, and you're going to coach and they're going to get it, and because of their talent, they're going to get it. Okay, but you got to make them all feel like you're coaching them, and that's how you do it. You know, like in wrestling, we had a sheet made out of sheet, put it on a clipboard. Here's a guy that might be a third string 100 and not back way back in the day, a third string 98 pounder. We had a sheet and it was divided in half. And here's our guy at the top. Every time he does a move, log the move so we know what moves we're doing. Down at the bottom, log the move of our opponent so we can see what they were doing. That's a big deal. And I didn't do this when I started doing this. The guy that I said, you do this. Well, he ended up, he punched holes in the pages, had a three-ring binder, had things in there according to team, and he was in it. And he wrestled for me all the way through. And Jim, this is one of those stories that just, it still brings a tear to my eye. He wrestled varsity one time in high school. And sure enough, he was on the mat, and the meat was on the line.
Oh, wow.
He won. And you'd have thought we won the Super Bowl. Because our guys were so legitimately happy for him. And that was it. Now, you coach them all, and you make them feel a part. Now, the other thing, what I'd like to say something, add on to what Glenn said about the three-sport athletes and so on. Fast forward that to the day. When I started coaching in 1970, that was a conversation that we had every year after that. Every year this was a conversation. Okay, it's football. Whatever season, it doesn't matter. Okay? What about open gyms? There was a discussion from 1970 on. I'm not kidding. Okay? And I came to a conclusion. Our coaching staff didn't always come to the conclusion. I never changed it, okay? When it's basketball, it's basketball. I'm not going to ask for those basketballers to do something else. The guys that aren't out for basketball, okay, let's go. No. And if it's baseball season, I'm not going to have wrestling or football stuff. It's baseball season. The sport's the sport at that time. And I think that's gotten out of control.
You're talking about multiple, there's collisions of the different sports overlapping. And then the kid has to, and that's one of the things about why I default back to the question has to be asked why a kid isn't playing a sport. And if the answer is, well, it's schedule. I can't make it work. I can't, I like playing both sports, but I have to make a commitment and they're asking me to do this. And then they're asking me to do this, and I have to pick one over the other. And I just don't want to continue doing that, so I'm only going to play one sport.
And I see it happening quite often.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why but the genie's out of the bottle. So, I mean, is there a way that it can work or not?
The coaches really have, I mean, at a small school like Rock Ridge and Mercer County, they have to share athletes.
Have to.
They absolutely have to buy into that. They can't say football or nothing or basketball or baseball. They've got to share athletes. I just wanted to add about baseball, Jim, and Coach. Baseball's a different breed of cat. Now, they have made the rules, so I'm an old traditionalist. I love the old style National League baseball. I hate the DH. I hate all that stuff. But I'm talking about high school. I like the reentry rule. I like that type of thing because you can get more kids involved. Yeah. You were talking about this little guy that you had that was in charge of your punt team or whatever. Baseball, you can't do that. Right. I mean, the kids know when they come down to the park for a ball game, like say we're playing Sherrard, and if you're a second string, second baseman or right fielder or whatever, you're probably not going to get in the game. I mean, and they know that coming down there. That's what's so hard about baseball to convince those kids that you're just as important as the guy that's playing ahead of you. So I tried to give jobs to those kids too,
yep,
to keep them involved. Now, Jim, you were there one day. We were playing over here at Mercer County, and I don't remember if it was a region or what, but you were there, and Tyler Olpig got hit in the head and split his head before the game. Do you remember that? And got blood all over his jersey. Well, do you remember the kid that came up to me right away and said he can have my jersey? Do you remember that? That still chokes me up. Because he knew by giving him that jersey, he was never going to get in the ballgame. Do you remember that day? That kid still stays in touch with me. I mean, those type of things mean so much to me. I had a golfer. I was a stupid golf coach. That's a joke. Because if you can drive a van, you can coach golf. But
no, that's a good one, Jim. That's a good one.
We were playing. Are you ready for a commercial or something?
Yeah, let me you say that. I do need to take a commercial break, and then we'll come back and hear this great golf story from Coach Glenn Cook and Bill Breeden in studio to the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
From Birkenstocks, cozy slippers to classic sandals, there's something for everyone at 6140 Run. Shop the irresistibly soft styles of Birkenstock and explore this season's most wanted gifts. New for this holiday season is the Boston line in leather and suede. It's the most popular Birkenstock sandal and would make a great Christmas gift for anyone in the family. See the new lineup of Birkenstock sandals available this holiday season at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Galesburg.
Back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning, Glenn Cook, pick up the golf story.
Okay, I was saying something to Coach Breeden here off the. I love coaches. I love watching a good coach work. I don't care what sport you're talking about. I love watching a coach work. It's one of my favorite things to do. Yeah. Anyway, okay, the golf story. We're playing in a meet up at Geneseo one time, and I can't think of the young man's last name. His first name was Ian, and he hit his tee shot down in a little valley-like or whatever, and he was out of sight of everybody. Okay, so and I was up at the green waiting for him, and pretty soon he come up out of there, and he was holding his head like this, and he was shaking his head, and so he comes up to the green, he holes out, and he comes off the green. I said, Ian, what's wrong? He says, oh, he said, I was down there, and he says, I double hit the ball. He said, when I swung, it happens once in a while, the club hit it twice. Now, the thing that I'll never forget, and it's one of the greatest things that happened to me while I was a golf coach or any coach, he was down there all by himself and called a penalty on himself. Yeah. Now, that, to me, spoke volumes about that young man.
Oh, my. Yes, it did.
I mean, I could have hugged him right there. In fact, is at our awards banquet, I brought that up. I just said, of all the things that happened this year, that's the most important thing.
You bet.
He called a penalty on himself that no one else would have. You know, when he swung through the ball hit up here somewhere, hit again, and hit the ball twice, and he called a penalty on himself. That still chokes me up when I think about that. I just love that.
Well, Glenn and Jim, believe it or not, I have a golf story. way back when, we had a golfer who was going to go play in the sectional. And for some reason, don't remember, the golf coach couldn't go. And they came to me and said, we need a golf coach for... I go, what? And we need a golf coach. And I go, what? Oh, what do you mean?
Check well, my there, driver's license.
There had to be a school representative there with the golfer.
So, like, what year was this?
Huh? It was Matt Ewing's freshman year.
No kidding.
I was.
And he eventually won state in 84, and it was because of Bill Breen.
No, I was a freshman. Bill Breen. No, but I was a golf coach for a day. Oh, my gosh. Glenn's right. When you see their moral character shine through, that's just awesome.
You can't beat it. I thought it was great, though, one of the lessons that I thought was great. And you said this, and I've really paid attention watching this since you said this. It was, you were in here, just pointing to Coach Breeden. And this is something that, you know, when you are at a sporting event, a lot of times we just focus on, right, the action on the field. But there's so much more. than action on the field. And you can really learn a lot about program or process, what's involved. And you said something about, you know, kids should be getting coached when they come off. Now, speaking specifically as it relates to football.
Yeah.
You know, when kids are coming off the field in football, they need to be coached. And I watched that going into the playoffs then. You know, I watch that at the games, and then I've been watching it at the basketball games I've been at when kids come off the floor. Are they coached? You know, I think that's very important. That's one of the things that you can watch, and you see the programs that do that and coach their kids up when they're coming off the field or coming off the court. I think that's a very important thing. Wow. You know, there's right ways and wrong ways to watch games, I think, if you really want to study what goes on at games. Those are kind of the things you need to look at instead of just complaining about officiating all the time when you're at the game or whatever.
And you're exactly right.
It takes effort to do that as a coach. And that's why I say I got the ultimate respect for coaches, especially in today's environment, how challenging it is. And Coach Cook has said this multiple times. If it was just about coaching today, we could do it forever. But it's not just about that anymore.
When I first started and it was a football game, and the football game got filmed. And even clear back then, you know, we went back and looked at it. And I'm watching it, and then all at once, boy, I was madder than a hornet. I'm watching it, and I go, well, that's not going to happen again. Well, here's all the action on the field, and this was our team, and here's the bench. Well, there was some behavior on that I didn't care for at all. And so that was the first thing that we addressed in our next meeting. Fellas, we don't act like that. We don't do that. There's a right way and a wrong way. And Glenn will laugh because I'll bet he'll agree. You know, Jim, it's never changed. Right's right and wrong's wrong. And it's not hard. It really isn't hard. No. To know what's right and wrong. And I just told him, I said, but I never would have known it if I'm going back.
Yeah.
And the guy that was filming our game, he had gotten the camera where it really wasn't just, it was a panorama or whatever, and I wouldn't have seen it normally, you know, but there it was right in front of me.
And it's interesting with you, Coach Cook, because you get to be an impartial observer at games where you're at the scores table. So you get to see a lot of stuff up close.
Oh, yeah.
That's and personal.
That's one of my favorite things, Jim.
And you can figure out real fast what's right and what's wrong. And you can't say
right
much about
head.
It. But that's always, you know, to look at things through that lens to see what's good, you know, because there's still many, there's more great things about interscholastic athletics than there are bad things.
Oh, yeah.
But the exception can always ruin a lot of things because it takes just one.
That's right.
But it's too bad there's too many of those ones that happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, I that's one of the things I love about sitting at the scores table. I get to hear coaches coach, and it is so interesting. I mean, I've heard some wonderful things. I've heard some bad things, but I've heard some wonderful things from great coaches. You know, going to state and all this and that, that's one thing. A great coach, there's so much that goes into being a great coach, and that's, I just love great coaches. I wanted to tell you a quick story about, can I tell this together?
Yeah.
One of the things I did, not always, but I did it a lot, I like music. I'd make our team, go into a room and sit down and listen to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And I'd make them sit there, and they couldn't talk. They had to listen for 12 minutes to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. That da-da-da-da, yeah. That one. And they always wondered why. In fact, I had teachers walk by and say, what are they doing? I said, we're practicing.
What did Henry say, that old crazy coach? What did he say?
Yeah. And I always told them, that's the most famous piece of music. There isn't anybody in this world that hasn't heard those notes. Da, 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 da. Everybody knows those notes. Written by a genius. If you can't listen to a genius for 12 minutes, you're not going to listen to me. That was my reason.
Glenn's much more sophisticated than I was, Jim. We would do music trivia, but it was rock. But here's how sophisticated that got. Sometime ask Patrick about it because he'll remember some of that. But it got so sophisticated that first of all, name the artist or name the song. It got so sophisticated over a period of time that. Eagles Fall, 1974. you had to tell the time frame too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
All right, let's quickly we need to take another break here. Talking with Coach Breeden and Coach Glenn Cook on a holiday edition of the WRMJ Sports Line.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renters coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Give the gift of comfort and style this year with a pair of Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run. They have the largest selection of styles and colors in stock in the store's history to choose from. And they're all on sale for Christmas gift giving. Hey Dude takes pride in having the comfiest, cushiest, and lightest shoes you can find. Their selection features Hey Dudes you can wear while dressing formally or lounging around. Hey Dude shoes. Shoes, but way comfier. And all on sale now at 6140 Run. 185 West Main in Galesburg.
It's the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning, a tradition that began back in 1979 when this station signed on. I was curious, Coach Breeden, when you're at a game, how do you watch a game? I mean, is there anything specific you look at, whatever the sport is? I mean, what type of lens do you use?
Okay.
And how do you go from, I'm sure there's an adjustment period from, I was actively involved coaching for many years, and now I'm just an impartial observer watching from the stands or the sidelines. How big of an adjustment was that for you? And maybe you're still adjusting to it today where you say, man, I'd like to say something, I'd like to coach, but I have to just view it as a fan now. I mean, is there, are once you're a coach, you're kind of always a coach when you're watching stuff?
I think so. But naturally, you can't say much or you don't do much. But there are, and Glenn's already said it, if I'm watching a basketball game or a football game, whatever it is, I watch players, I watch the coaches, I watch the interaction of the players when they're on the field or the court, and you see things. And it doesn't, I don't think it takes you very long to watch what's going on and you go, that kid's a leader. That kid's really a good leader. Or you can see on the bench and you go, now that's a great kid. He's really into his team. He's really into, or you can watch a coach and go, hey, I think that guy's probably pretty good. You really do get those glimpses. I don't think it takes very long to see him either.
No, I couldn't agree more. I just think that I like to watch coaches or kids during timeouts.
Yes.
To see what if they're paying attention.
Definitely.
I mean, Can you imagine a Bobby Knight, for instance, the kid's not paying attention to him? No. I mean, whether you like Bobby Knight or not, he demanded they pay attention to him. I watch coaches during their timeouts and to see if the kids are paying attention.
You bet. One quick one, Jim. This has nothing relating to nothing. It's just popped into my head.
That's fine. That's what this program's for.
Way back in the day, we were playing Galvin football, and we're behind. And time's running out. So I went out and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And we're trying to milk the clock. We had one timeout left, called two plays, went through the thing. Our quarterback, who was, I got all done talking, and he goes, coach. And I go, yeah. And he goes, great call. And I right then I go, we're going to win. Because he believes in what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we did win. But I'll never forget, he goes, great call. I have to tell one story. This goes back to what we were talking first. And school hadn't started yet one morning, and this happened to be a wrestler, okay? And it was after the season. They called up my room and said, you've got a phone call that you need to take. Okay, so I go down. It's the dad of one of the wrestlers. He was crying. And it took me a second getting calmed down because I couldn't even understand him. Well, what had happened, his son had a girlfriend that they had gotten real thick,
you know, yeah.
And they had run away. His son and girlfriend had run away, and he's going to graduate in May. They had run away, and he goes, coach, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. And I said, oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, he goes, I know where they're at. You got to go get him. And I'm going, my head's spinning around.
Yeah.
So finally, I hustled down to the principal's office, and I said, told him the story. And fortunately, the principal was top-notch guy. He goes, we will get you a sub, and you get going. So I went to where, and I took him home.
And then that was before cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that stuff.
Yeah.
A totally different environment.
Yeah. And the dad is now, oh, my gosh, he's 89 years old, and he's still alive. His health isn't real good. I didn't hesitate, and fortunately, the principal at the time said, we'll get you a sub, and you get going.
Yeah.
And I went to where they were, and I was able to got him home.
Yeah.
But they were at a place, and they were getting ready to leave the state. They were going. Amazing. It was just a, oh, my gosh.
I was thinking about, too, from both of you and Coach Cook, the perspective of, you know, we talk about technology, how that has changed for kids today, how you have to deal with kids and what they're exposed to, basically. But then even from a coaching standpoint, do you think you could coach in today's culture with the way technology has changed? Like, I'll never forget, one of the great education processes for me in covering football is I went with Dennis Melgren and Dennis Rumbum. It would have been in the 90s when Coach McCarty was the head coach, and they'd go scout the note cards,
right?
Where they'd scout formation play,
yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I'm learning a lot about the process. Now, maybe you're able to do that with, you know, how they do it today. I forget what's the technology they call it today. I forget whatever the game film is that you just downloaded and
and it does all that automatically.
Yeah. And it's just each. Yeah. Play sped up, where you don't have to sit there for 3 hours in a football game to basically, you know, mark every play, every formation. Would you like to have it the way it is today, or did you really appreciate the old
school? Let me answer for Bill. Okay, Coach Breeden could coach anytime. We need coaches like Coach Breeden. You need, no, that's one of the things they need today. They need kids. The kids need coaches that care about them. And Coach Breeden cared about
his kids. And I get that. But I'm talking about it from a technology standpoint.
Could.
But do you think we're missing something
yes.
by how we did it back then to how we do it today?
Yes. but it's probably not what you're going what you're going to expect. The old way was better. The old way was better because now you get all of this information. Okay, how do you use that? And I've looked at that technology, and I've looked at it. And back in the day, what you were talking about with Rumbaugh and Melgren, note cards. But the other thing, both of those guys were good, particularly Melgren. You laugh. He would go, hey, I went down and got popcorn, and I was talking to number 78. I was talking to his grandma, and he sprained his ankle, and he's not quite 100%.
Yeah.
And so he's going to try to play next week, but it's iffy. Yeah. You don't get that from that other stuff. But what Glenn has already said, okay, when you're there in person, you get to see a lot more than just the X's and O's. You get to see the attitude of the coaches. You get to see the attitude of the players. And there are some things that come out of that that you can use. And now I sometimes think it's too complicated. You know, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
For example, this is what I did. I tried to watch three films on everybody we played, plus our scouting report. See, we were one of the last schools to kept our scouts going out. We were one of the last ones. One of the reasons the other schools weren't doing it, they couldn't get anybody to do it. And our junior high coaches kept doing it. And they would come in every Saturday at 10 o'clock, and we'd go over it. My defensive strategy was, okay, what are their top five plays? What are their top five plays? Because we got to stop. We got our defensive game plan. We have to stop those five, particularly the top three, but we got to stop five. Any more than that, our defense can be adjusted at game time or during the game to take care of some of that other stuff. Okay, but those five, we got to stop. And we got to have a plan A and a plan B. Okay, I'll never forget, we're playing Sherrard. My first year, I coached with Coach McCarty, and Sherrard was good. Oh my word, they were good. They're back. They were good. And game's going along, and Coach McCarty would walk by me, and he's going this way, and he goes, Coach, we got to stop these guys. And he went back the other way, and he goes, Coach, when are you going to stop these guys? And he wasn't being serious. I mean, he was, you know, I mean, Coach McCarty had a very wry sense of humor. And he went back the other way, and he goes, Coach. And I go, Coach, plan A didn't work. Plan B is not working, and I don't have a C. and Sherrard beat us. I'm going to say it was 28-14, something like that. And I believe in moral victories. That was a moral victory. We told our guy, we can play with these guys. We can, and that's proof. It's proof we can play with them. They're just good.
Yeah.
They're good. But today's technology, I think it, why I'd make my head spin around. You know, you just let's
look
narrow
what
it down.
Look baseball, Coach. Look what this launch angle and
launch.
Stuff.
And that's how we get the one thing how that you know, in terms of ending the conversation today is the proliferation of sports with so many games. And I don't care what sport we're talking about, right? I don't care what sport is are the games getting better? Are they getting better?
You notice my hat is now crooked because when Glenn said that about launch angle, it made my head spin around. And I use baseball because baseball, I mean, I played more baseball than anything else. Okay. And launch angle and this. I really honestly think the players are bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah, there's
I don't
no
think
question
we can
about
argue
that.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, are they as fundamentally sound?
There's a question.
That's in any sport, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking, is play fundamentally got better in these sports where so many games have been played, and we can talk about, you know, the business model that is youth sports. You know, so you see TBK. Why is that complex there? Well, because there are so many teams and so many opportunities, and I think some, you know, we talk about participation. There's no, the one thing, there's no thrill of playing. You're not going to be thrilled playing at a venue anymore. Like, I want to play on the high school basketball court. Why? I've played on 27 high school basketball courts already, and I'm 9 years old.
That's a whole different
Because I remember when I first started. This is like an old You know, exactly. I loved playing basketball when I was growing up, and I thought one of the biggest thrills for me growing up was the opportunity to shoot on a glass backboard.
Well, sure.
Oh,
sure.
You know, like,
sure.
And now.
How about playing at Wharton Field?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just in any opportunity with some of the venues, that the attraction of just playing is not there anymore you've played so much already.
I know we got to get off here, but the tradition has gone by the wayside. I'm a big traditionalist. I mean, when you walk on the baseball field, that's got to mean, on the varsity baseball field, the varsity football field, that's got to mean, that's got to be a special thing for you.
Right. Well, my grandson played on turf when he was 7 years old.
Yeah. You know, he's not the only one. There's everybody.
And I wish that I would count it, the number of games that I've been at Betplex.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you talk about big
You could
business.
Build another new house. All right, we're going to take one more break and have closing thoughts on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company. Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
From Birkenstocks, cozy slippers, to classic sandals, there's something for everyone at 6140 Run. Shop the irresistibly soft styles of Birkenstock and explore this season's most wanted gifts. New for this holiday season is the Boston line in leather and suede. It's the most popular Birkenstock sandal and would make a great Christmas gift for anyone in the family. See the new lineup of Birkenstock sandals available this holiday season at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Great to have Coach Cook and Coach Breeden on with us. We always talk about enrichment in one's lives. So I end it with kind of how the conversation began today with Coach. We heard Coach Lower talk about Coach Breeden, Coach Henry talk about Coach Cook. We all have challenges in life. I know Coach Breeden lost his wife this year, and Coach Cook, you lost your brother, but I want to make sure that you two know, you know, the friendships and the lives that you've impacted. And I just want to make sure that you guys both understand that. And so, despite all that, this year, you need to know that you've had this tremendous impact on so many people.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. And, but going back, and I have mentioned and referenced 1970 several times, but one thing that has remained constant all the way through until now, quite frankly and quite honestly, has been WRMJ. WRMJ's been the constant in all of that. WRMJ has been here. And from a high school coach standpoint, oh my gosh, it's been quite a partnership with the town, the school, WRM. I mean, we're blessed, and we have been blessed for many years.
Yeah, Jim, I want to thank you also for today and for all these past years. We've become good friends, and for including me in all those broadcasts. I don't know why, because I coach. I mean, I know nothing about football, but still I blabber on. But anyway, like Coach just said about WRMJ, what you do for this area and for our kids is amazing. And John Hoshite, you guys, and now Ty, you need to be really thanked. And that's not enough, but to be thanked for what you've done and for what you mean to the area. It's really awesome.
It's a blessing. I went to Rock Ridge not this past spring, but the spring before, grandson playing baseball. My wife and I walked up, and the next thing I heard was, Coach Breeden is in the house. Oh, that was pretty cool.
Well, gentlemen, like I say, I tell people that it's always great. Coach Cook, there's always kind of a running inside joke with Coach Cook when he calls. He's like, I'm not bothering you, am I? No, I'm going on the air in 2 minutes, but what do you got, man? And then I always love when my paths cross with Coach Breeden in town here. You know, it's always, you know, I say, hey, how you doing, Coach? And then it's 25 minutes later, and I think there's so many people that tell me that about Coach Breeden when they cross paths with him. Yeah. Then I leave 25 minutes later, but that's the enrichment part of life. I'm so thankful for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm really thankful for these opportunities and to gain knowledge and perspective. You know, I always tell people, they ask me, what's the most important part of this job? And they think radio is about talking. And I'm like, no, it's about listening. It's about listening. And you think you know so much when you start a profession. No, you don't. You have to stop and you have to listen what people are telling you. And that's how you learn so much. And that's especially why I tell the fans out there in interscholastic athletics, don't talk, listen.
Oh, yeah.
You bet. Listen, and you have the opportunity to learn so much perspective. And that, and especially from the really good coaches out there and the good players. I mean, if you sit down and I've been blessed to talk to so many kids and you're like, man, they get it. And they know so much already. In officials or whoever, you know, or in school administrators even, mm-hmm. you know, you if you just listen, you're like, wow, okay, I didn't think about this, and I'm glad they opened up that perspective to me.
That's
so
true.
I want to wish Coach Cook, his family, Merry Christmas. Coach Breeden, you and your family, Merry Christmas. Always love to run into you guys, and thanks for coming in today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. Merry Christmas
Merry
to everybody.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
All right, Jim. That'll do it for the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.
This has been Sports Line on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more, and by your local Country Financial representatives Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois. This is WRMJ Aledo, 102.3 FM, WRMJ.com, and download the WRMJ.